Open your Bibles this morning to Romans chapter 5. Follow along with me as I read verses 12 through 21 of Romans chapter 5. Therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man and death through sin, in this way death spread to all people because all sinned. In fact, sin was in the world before the law, but sin is not charged to a person's account when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those who did not sin in the likeness of Adam's transgression. He is a type of the coming one. But the gift is not like the trespass. For if by the one man's trespass the many died, how much more have the grace of God and the gift which comes through the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, overflowed to the many? And the gift is not like the one man's sin, because from the one sin came the judgment resulting in condemnation, but from the many trespasses came the gift resulting in justification. Since by the one man's trespass death reigned through that one man, how much more will those who received the overflow of grace and the gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ? So then, as through one trespass there is condemnation for everyone, so also through one righteous act there is justification leading to life for everyone. For just as through one man's disobedience the many were made sinners, so also through the one man's obedience the many will be made righteous. The law came along to multiply the trespass, but where sin multiplied, grace multiplied even more, so that just as sin reigned in death, so also grace will reign through righteousness, resulting in eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amazing love, how can it be that thou, my God, should die for me? I hope you really just soaked in that song as we sang it. On Sunday mornings when we sing, don't ever let it become something where you're just going through the motions and mindlessly singing words that happen to be up on the screen. I trust that you are listening as you sing and soaking it in. That song is full of great theology, great truth about what God has done for us, what it means for us. It is amazing love. And every day when we consider what God has done for us, we ought to cry out, how can it be that thou, my God, should die for me? How is this possible? How is it possible for God to save us in the person of Jesus Christ? How can this be that this happens? Well, we believe it because God's word tells us that Christ took our place on the cross. We can say, well, I just believe what the Bible says. You can just say that and accept it at face value. But we shouldn't just be readers of Scripture. Debbie was just talking to me about somebody that she read recently that talks about we shouldn't just read the Bible. We should study the Bible. I mean, if the Bible in fact is the Word of God to us, then we ought to be all about it. We ought to make it who we are, not just one of the parts of our life. So let that be an encouragement to you to spend time in the Word every day. Maybe get a good devotional book to go along with it. But how can just one man take the sins of the whole world on himself? The answer is found right here in Romans chapter 5, verses 12 through 21. Now, in verses 1 through 11, we learn of the blessings of our justification. Listen to the first two verses of chapter 5 that we looked at last week when we were out at Machindo. Verses 1 and 2 say, therefore, since we have been declared righteous by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We have also obtained access through him by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. I know that as I read those verses, Debbie and Luke are back there thinking of the motions that go with them. Several years, well, lots of years ago, we were at a camp, and that was those were the theme verses, and they had motions that went with them, and we've never forgotten that week at camp with that. But here in the remaining verses of chapter 5, we learn of the basis of our justification, the very heart of our salvation, the very heart of this matter. So as we travel through these verses this morning, I want you to notice some repetition. I want you to notice the repetition of the word one. It appears several times. This is pointing out that our identification is with Adam and with Christ. As human beings, we have an identification with Adam, the one man. That's actually what Adam means. It means man or humanity. And we have identification by faith with the one man, Christ. Also note the repetition of the word rain. Not the water that falls from the sky, but raining over something. It appears 5 times. Adam and Christ each reign over a kingdom. And then notice, finally, the repetition of the phrase, much more. In Christ, we have gained much more than what we have in Adam. Actually, more than what we've lost in Adam. Our gain is greater than our loss. So, Adam reigned over the old creation. When I say the old creation, I'm talking about when he was in the Garden of Eden with Eve, and everything was perfect. Everything was great. And Adam ruled over that. God gave him that, said, here, enjoy. But he disobeyed. He broke fellowship. He broke the fellowship that he had with God. Adam sinned, and his sin brought condemnation on everything, all of creation. It didn't just bring condemnation on mankind. It brought condemnation on everything. Everything fell. Creation was no longer what it was. It was brought under a curse. Christ reigns over a new creation. His obedience brought righteousness and justification. He not only repaired the damage caused by Adam's sin, but he did much more than that. He made us the children of God. So one thing that's noticeable here is that everyone has been affected by Adam's sin. We know that we are the offspring of Adam for one specific reason. We all die. Everybody dies. Given enough time, everybody dies, right? Look at verses 12 to 14 again. Therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man, and death through sin, in this way death spread to all people because all sinned. In fact, sin was in the world before the law, but sin is not charged to a person's account when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those who did not sin in the likeness of Adam's transgression. He is a type of the coming one. So now we know that everyone dies, but death is the result of disobeying the law of God, right? But there was no law from Adam to Moses. And yet everyone from Adam to Moses still died. So what caused that death? There can only be one thing that causes death. And keep in mind, by the way, it's not just humans that die, is it? Everything dies, doesn't it? That's how we know that all of creation is fallen. Everything dies. Probably many of you have had a pet that you've had to say goodbye to. I've even heard people make the comment, I don't know, the death of my dog was more traumatic to me than the death of loved ones, of human relatives, which sometimes it feels that way to people. Death affects us deeply, doesn't it? Everybody from Adam to Moses died even though there was no law. So this one thing that caused that death is the disobedience of Adam. When Adam disobeyed God's command to not eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, he ultimately did die. The very day that he ate of that fruit, he began to die. And then all of his descendants died, even though they didn't have any law to disobey. So the conclusion is they died because of Adam's sin. When verse 12 says all have sinned, it means that all have sinned ultimately in Adam's sin. Adam's sin brought death on everybody and everything. People do not die because of their own acts of sin. Ultimately, if that were true, then unborn babies and brand new infants would never die. We'd never have a stillborn. We'd never have a miscarriage. We'd never have the tragedy of little babies dying from disease or anything like that. They would be perfect until that moment when they decide to commit their first sin. But that's not what happens. We have that tragedy in our world. We have that heartache of miscarriages and infant deaths and the deaths of small children. We have places like St. Jude's Hospital that's devoted to treating children and their diseases. Children that are innocent, they never did anything to deserve those diseases, right? And yet they die. People die because they are united by nature to Adam, and in Adam all die. So now Paul provides us with several contrasts between Adam and Christ. It's not all negative here this morning. We have the much more. So let's consider that. Let's consider the contrasts. Verse 15. But the gift is not like the trespass. For if by one man's trespass the many died, how much more have the grace of God and the gift which comes through grace of the one man Jesus Christ overflowed to the many? Because of Adam's one act of disobedience, everyone dies. But because of Christ's one act of obedience, multitudes are given life by the grace of God. Notice the words "much more" there. It's true that because of the work of Christ, death is conquered, and we will be raised up at the resurrection with resurrection bodies that are never going to die. We're never going to get sick. We're never going to get old again. We're going to have perfect resurrection bodies. Amen? Come on, are you awake this morning? I mean, a resurrection body, don't you look forward to that? You're not going to be some disembodied spirit floating around and playing a harp up in the clouds. You're going to have a body, a real body. You're going to be a whole person for all of eternity in perfect fellowship with Christ. And there's never anything going to go wrong with that body. Just like the body of Christ is now a resurrected and perfect body, so ours will be as well. But the much more goes beyond just that resurrection life. It just keeps getting better. Jesus does not just save us from eternal separation from his glory and his grace. He gives us life more abundantly right now in the midst of a sinful world. So often there's too much emphasis on what we're saved from. Yes, it's great that we are saved from sin, and we're even saved from self-righteousness, but we're not just saved from something, we're saved to something. We are saved to a life in Christ. We are saved to a life of love for each other and love for those around us. We are saved to the great commandments. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. And the second is like it, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. That's what we're saved to. We're saved to an abundant life in Christ, even in the midst of a sinful world. We're supposed to be a light of God to the world that we're in. So let me encourage you as you consider your own salvation. Don't just think about what you've been saved from. Think about what you've been saved to. Think about this abundant life of being Christ-like in a dark and dying world. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3 says, "Praise to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ." Every spiritual blessing. You have all that you need in Christ in order to live the life that he wants you to live in the here and now, as well as for eternity. Titus chapter 3 tells us, "Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, which he poured out on us abundantly," there's that word abundantly again, "through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life." Abundance. We have abundance in Christ. We've been saved to much more than anything that we lost in Adam. So now our second contrast is in verse 16. It says, "And the gift is not like the one man's sin, because from one sin came the judgment, resulting in condemnation. But from the many trespasses came the gift, resulting in justification." So Adam's sin brought judgment. Not only was Adam declared unrighteous, but all who are his offspring, everything, all human beings and all of creation are under the same condemnation. But when an individual puts their trust in Jesus Christ, as we've seen in the past few weeks, they are declared righteous by God. We're no longer the children of Adam. We are now the child of God. You started out in Adam, but if your faith is in Christ, then you are in Christ, not in Adam any longer. Verse 17 says, "Since by the one man's trespass death reigned through that one man, how much more will those who receive the overflow of grace and the gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ?" In Genesis chapter 5, keeping in mind, Genesis chapter 5 is way long before the law under Moses, right? This is not long after Adam. Genesis chapter 5, you glance down through those verses in that chapter, and you find a phrase that's repeated over and over. "And he died." There's a genealogy there. And everybody in that genealogy, "and he died, and he died." From Adam to Moses, people didn't die because they broke the law. They died simply because they live in a fallen world because of Adam's sin. And that's why people die today. Why was the law given then? The law was given to us to show us what sin is so we can understand what God wants of us, what he requires. And then he sent Christ to fulfill those requirements on our behalf. It's given, the law is given to us to show us the reason why we die, why we are sinners by nature. And by the way, we are sinners by nature. And so if we're sinners by nature, what are we going to do? We're going to sin, because that's what sinners do. We don't become sinners the first time we sin. We're born into it. And if you don't believe me, what is the first word that we have to teach to a little baby? No. We don't have to teach a kid yes. Oh, yes, you can go do that. Yeah, sure, go ahead, go do that. They begin their life with being told, no, you need to back off and not do that, because that's what we want to do. We want to do everything that we're not supposed to do. If you don't believe me, then you've probably never had children or worked with children or been around children or even seen a child. In Jesus Christ, we are given a new life. We are declared righteous. We have peace with God. We rejoice in the hope of glory. Look at verse 17 again. It says, "Since by the one man's trespass death reigned through that one man, how much more will those who receive the overflow of grace and the gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ?" God does not just save us from the penalty of sin. He desires for every one of us that we live victorious lives right now. He wants us to reign in life by the power of Christ in us. We're not waiting until Christ comes back and we are called up together to be with him and we get our resurrection bodies and then we finally get to reign in life. This isn't supposed to be an Eeyore life. You know Eeyore from the Winnie the Pooh stories? I suppose, you know, going through life. Yeah, I guess. We're not supposed to live an Eeyore life. Maybe we're supposed to be a little more like Tigger. Some of you are probably thinking, I don't have that kind of energy anymore. But we're supposed to reign in life. We're supposed to rejoice in life. We're supposed to have abundant life. Does that mean we're never going to have any problems? No, but we can rejoice through the problems because we belong to the one who is Lord over all, including the problems. Let's look at our next contrast in verses 18 and 19. So then, as through one trespass there is condemnation for everyone, so also through one righteous act there is justification leading to life for everyone. For just as through one man's disobedience the many were made sinners, so also through the one man's obedience the many will be made righteous. So Adam did not gradually become separated from God over a long period of time through repeated disobedience. God gave Adam one single test of obedience, and in one single act, Adam failed. Adam and Eve together failed in that act of obedience, throwing all of creation into fallenness. The word trespass in this verse means crossing over the line. God did not try to trick Adam. He told him exactly where the line was. He told him the consequences of crossing that line. For in the day that you eat thereof, you will surely die. But in contrast to the one act of offense, we have the one act of righteousness. And that one act of obedience was the death of Christ on the cross. The sacrifice of Christ was only one act. Over and over again in the book of Hebrews, it is stressed that Christ accomplished everything that needed to be accomplished in one single act. Listen to some of the quotes from the book of Hebrews. He sacrificed for their sins once for all when he offered himself. He entered the most holy place once for all by his own blood, having obtained eternal redemption. But now he has appeared once for all at the end of the ages to do away with sin by the sacrifice of himself. We have been made holy through the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. If you doubt that it's a once for all thing that Christ has done, go read the book of Hebrews. You run into it over and over again. You can't miss it. Before Jesus gave up his spirit on the cross, what did he cry out? It is finished. It's done. It's paid for in full. One act of obedience by the sinless Son of God was sufficient to bring justification of life to everyone who believes. If the one act of Adam was enough to bring sin and fallenness into the world, then the one act of the sinless one, the eternal Son of God, one act from him was enough to turn it all around. It's not just the legal justification that's being declared here. This is justification that results in life in Christ. It's the life of a new mind, new desires, new joys. And all of that is a hint. All of the newness that we have in Christ, that's a hint of what is to come, because there is a new creation to come. We go to Revelation 21 and we find out there's a new heaven and a new earth, for the old heaven and the old earth have passed away. All things have become new. We get to go back to the Garden of Eden. and it will never come to an end. Let's look at verses 20 and 21 for our final contrast here. The law came along to multiply the trespass, but where sin multiplied, grace multiplied even more, so that just as sin reigned in death, so also grace will reign through righteousness, resulting in eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Grace was not an afterthought or something that God decided to give after some period of time. It's not something he had to scrape together when Adam and Eve disobeyed. Grace was part of God's plan from the very beginning. Adam and Eve's disobedience did not surprise God. God dealt with Adam and Eve according to his grace. He dealt with Enoch and Noah and Job and Abraham according to his grace. He dealt with the nation of Israel according to his grace. When God gave the law through Moses, he did that to reveal man's need for grace. But that law was just something temporary. That law was put into place in order to point us to our need for Christ. God's grace is what is eternal. The law made us more aware of our sinfulness so that we would see the abundance of God's grace. The more you are aware of who you are in the flesh, the bigger God's grace will be to you. Our bodies are still subject to death. We still have that old nature in us that tempts us to sin, but Jesus Christ has given us power to reign in life because his grace abounds much more. We are not in a fight between two equal and opposite forces. This is not the light side and the dark side. Like Star Wars. God is supreme. God is preeminent. Evil will go away. Death will go away. Christ has already won the victory. We're not waiting for the victory. We have the victory in Christ. So we live in an already not yet kind of life. We already know it's done. We already know we have victory. We already know we have eternal life. But we still have to live in this fallenness for now. We cannot help being in Adam. We were all born in Adam. But we don't have to stay in Adam. It is through faith that God pulls us by his grace out of Adam and places us into Christ. He calls on us to come. Come to Jesus. Believe in him. Receive what he has offered. Leave Adam behind and walk with Christ. Father in heaven, we thank you for your abundant grace. There are not enough words in the world for us to be able to use to express how incredible it is that you love us, you have redeemed us, and you are making each and every one of us into new creatures for that new creation, all for your glory and honor. In Christ's name I pray. Amen.